Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm curious this morning if any of you have, and it's okay, Bob asked if I should ask everybody to come up and sit on the steps for the talk this morning, but Bob, if you're welcome to, but not necessary. But it's going to be okay to interact here for just a minute. Just a minute now, not throughout the whole thing. Does anybody have a camera, a security camera inside their house? Now, don't be afraid to raise your hand because, you know, you might be revealing anything. All right, so with these cameras, right, you can pull them up on your telephone and you can see what's going on in your house. So if you set it up, let's say, in your dining room, and you set this camera up in the corner, and then if you're off at work, if you're out of town, you can pull it up and you can see what's going on, checking on the kids or the dog or whatever you have. So this morning I want you to close your eyes and pretend that you have just purchased the New Age 2020 camera system, and you put this camera up in your dining room. You can visualize this, and it's looking down on your dining room. And you have this set up, and you're off out of town, and you pull up the app on your telephone, and you're looking in on your dining room. You can see it. You can see the table, the chairs, all that's there. And then all of a sudden, the signal breaks away, and all of a sudden, you're looking in on the Last Supper. And you know it's the Last Supper because the timestamp on there says AD 30. Wow, that's convenient. And there you are, you're looking in on the Last Supper. You see Jesus, you see this big long table, kind of low to the ground, and you see all the disciples, and just like Michelangelo portrayed it, they're all sitting on one side. Why are they all on one side of the table? But there's Jesus. There's Peter, James, and John. And Jesus is sitting with him, and he's praying. And first he prays and gives glory to God, his Father, because he has the greatest love of anyone for his Father. He loves God, and he wants to make sure that God knows that he loves him. And then he prays for his disciples, and he turns to each of them and prays for them in this prayer. And then he looks up into the corner, and he's looking right at you. The fourth wall is broken. He's looking right into your camera. And he's praying for you. And he's loving you. He loves you, Clark. He loves you, Ed Maxwell. And he loves you, Rex. And he's praying for you with this prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one and we are one. In them, and I am in you, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of the Lord. Now that's confusing, but what a prayer, right? It's circular, and it keeps coming back. God, Jesus in us, love, circular, and He does love us, doesn't He? Now, Jesus is praying to His Father. He's praying to our Father. It is the night of the Last Supper. Jesus has shared a meal with His disciples. He's washed their feet. He's given them a new commandment that we talked about a couple weeks ago, to love as He loves, and told them of His leaving. And now He prays. In today's gospel, we overhear a portion of His prayer to His Father and our Father. He prays for us. Three times He asked our Father that we would all become one, and He and the Father are one. Now, if Jesus is praying for our oneness, then He is also recognizing and rejecting the boundaries and differences that divide us. There are divisions within ourselves, our families, our church, and our nation. We live in a world full of divisions: male, female, rich and poor, gay or straight, Hispanic or Anglo, Christian or Muslim, conservative or liberal, educated or uneducated, young or old, heaven or earth, divine or human, sinner or saved, orthodox or heretic. We could go on and on listing the boundaries that are between us, that we encounter and are all too often established or we promote. They are not just divisions that we have responsibilities. They are not just divisions that have become oppositions. These divisions exist not only out there in the world, but primarily and first in the human heart. We project onto the world our fragmented lives. For every boundary we establish, there is a human being. Ultimately, boundaries and differences are not about issues. They are about real people with names, lives, joys, sorrows, concerns, and needs just like us. I think we sometimes forget or ignore this. It is easier to deal with an issue than it is to deal with a real person. Whether or not we admit it, the boundaries we establish and enforce are usually done in such a way to favor us, to make us feel okay, to reassure us that we are right and in control, chosen and desired, seen and recognized, approved and accepted. In order for me to win, someone must lose. In order for me to be included, someone must be excluded. Otherwise, winning and being included means nothing. The divisions of our lives in some way become self-perpetuating. We often deal with the boundaries and differences that divide us by writing agreements, covenants, treaties, and legislation that governs how we will get along with each other and behave in the midst of our differences. But that is not Jesus' prayer. Jesus does not pray for our tolerance. Jesus does not pray for our tolerance or getting along or just being nice to each other. That is not His prayer. He does not even pray that our differences would be eliminated. Instead, He prays for our oneness. He prays that we would be one as He and the Father are, so that our oneness would be a revelation of God's presence to the world. Oneness in the midst of differences becomes a sacramental presence of God's life in the world. That does not mean, however, that we lose our identity or individuality. Jesus does not stop being Jesus, and the Father does not stop being the Father, because they are one. Oneness is less about numbers and quantity and more about qualitative. Jesus and the Father are one because they love and give themselves to each other. Oneness is a quality of life, God's life. Jesus' prayer for oneness is ultimately that we would be and live like God. Oneness is not about eliminating differences, it's about love. Love is the only thing that can ever overcome division. Over and over, Jesus tells us that we should love God. We should love our neighbor. We should love ourselves. And we should love our enemy. Our love for God, neighbor, self, and enemy reveals our oneness. And the measure of our oneness, one God likeness. That is love. In love, there may be a difference, but there is no division. God's love knows no boundaries. God's love, male and female, rich and poor, gay and straight, Hispanic and Anglo, God loves Christians and Muslims, conservatives and liberals, educated and uneducated. God loves young and old, heaven and earth, divine and human. God loves sinner and saved, orthodox and heretic. All are loved fully, completely, and uniquely as each needs. God does not even draw boundaries between Jesus and us. If we think God loves Jesus more than anyone else, we have missed the point of the gospel. God loves you the same as he loves Jesus. God loves your neighbor the same as he loves Jesus. God loves your enemy the same as he loves Jesus. If that is how God loves, how can we do anything less and still call ourselves Christians? For far too long, we have dealt with each other through our boundaries, differences, and divisions. You can see where this has gotten us, can't you? You need only look at the world, read the newspapers, or watch the news. When we deal with each other through our divisions, we label, we do violence, and hunker down to defend our position. There is no oneness in that. Though Jesus is praying to the Father, you and I will, in large part, be the ones to answer Jesus' prayer. We answer his prayer every time we choose how to love. Every time we choose who to love. Every time we choose where to love. It is time we answer Jesus' prayer and deal with each other in love. So I wonder, who are the boundaries that await our love? Amen.